So Joe Fish, CEO of U.S. Beverage, is celebrating, I believe, his 20th year as running that company, and also has exciting news that we announced yesterday in the newsletter, which is that U.S. Beverage has partnered with Heineken America's Exports as the U.S. importer of a variety of specialty Heineken brands that they have not had direct representation for through their own operation here in the United States. So, Joe, first of all, congratulations for that. That's terrific, and we're happy to see you do that.
Thank you, Joel. It's a very exciting time for U.S. Beverage.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you got this arrangement? Did you approach them? Did they approach you? What was the process?
Well, we have a history of marketing a few Heineken brands in the past. Our relationship actually goes back about 10 years, where we were the importer for Murphy's Stout and Tiger Beer. And through the years, both companies became quite comfortable and energetic with one another, building brands. We really have learned much from the Heineken people, and they've helped us growing our competencies, particularly on the marketing side. So as our relationship grew and as their identity in the United States and strategies have grown in the United States, there became an opportunity to have U.S. Beverage be appointed as an incubator of some of their leading brands worldwide that have not been in the United States or have been in the United States but in a less serious way. So our discussion started probably just about a year ago, and we have come to terms and have spent quite a bit of time with the America's Export folks where we have a comfort zone. We have an array of strategies on some wonderful brands that we are now responsible for, and we're kicking those off right now.
Good. And of course, it's far too early to ask you questions like, where do you have distribution for these brands and all that sort of good stuff. I don't even know if you have yet a marketing operation up and running for them, or do you?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have people that have been working on the brands over the last 90 days. We will be getting our distribution network up and running over the next 90 days. So you'll see a full introduction, hopefully by the end of the calendar year, with programming to move forward in 2018.
So it really took you about 9 months to get to an agreement with Heineken America's Export, and it'll take you another 9 months roughly to get it into the marketplace full scale.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure that the timing is accurate. I would say, you know, our discussions had gone on for some time. I think we had an agreement to do business before any agreement was signed.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand that bringing a multitude of breweries around the world in line with the strategies of the export company has been a task that has required some time.
Good. Now, tell us a little bit about U.S. Beverage itself. I believe you've been in business for about 20 years. Did you start it? I think you did, didn't you?
U.S. Beverage was started in beginning of 1997, so yes, we are in our 20th year. I was the founder. Prior to that, I was president of the Seagram Beverage Company and felt a passion to get into the imported and crafted beer business back in 97 as it was evolving. It's action-oriented. It required certain brand marketing competencies, distributor management competencies, sales competencies, all of which I've been able to recruit what I consider to be the best and brightest to manage the company and to build our brands with a group of suppliers that see the world similarly to U.S. Beverage, and we've created a very strong relationship with suppliers such as Heineken, Moosehead, Pernod Ricard, we're introducing their Malibu beer in test right now in 3 markets, as well as other suppliers such as S.A. Dom, Superbach people, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Good. Now, how has it been important for you to be nimble as an independent importer?
It's important to be nimble because you're competing with the land of giants. And when you're competing in that category, the consumer today, too, is very, very quick. So we've got a group of people that are very much involved with what trends are looking for, what we need to do with our portfolio to keep them ahead of competition, to keep them being worked through the distributor network into the retail sector as well, and to make them new and exciting really on a daily basis.
I would suspect that being smaller than the giants is actually a benefit to you and that you can turn quicker in the marketplace if things start to shift or something. Am I right about that?
You are, but I think the greater value comes with the relationship with our suppliers. Mm-hmm. Our suppliers enjoy working with us, and we certainly have a terrific relationship with them. They understand the U.S. market quite well and work with us very closely to make sure that we're doing what needs to be done for their brands to ensure growth.
Good. Now, U.S. Beverage is a family company, isn't it? Justin is your VP and general manager, and I presume your son?
Yes, my son Justin has been with us for just about 15 years right now. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, he was on the marketing side working for Ogilvy and Mather after he graduated college, and then he learned the beer business at the distributor end working out for one of our distributors in San Diego and throughout California. And before he got too comfortable in California, we brought him back east here to work on the marketing side, and he's worked his way up through brand management and marketing management into the general manager's position.
So, how did you go about building this family business that obviously is very successful?
We've been very fortunate. Again, we have followed and try to stay ahead of some consumer trends. We very much got involved with the craft beer aspect of it, owning and selling certain craft brands early on, but understanding that a real strength was working with suppliers of supplier-owned brands internationally and bringing them into the United States through a very strong distributor network. So while we've had our ups and downs for sure, the 20 years of history that we have has enabled us to learn to build strong relationships both at the distributor end and the customer end to allow our distribution and focus on our and promotion on our brands in the marketplace. So we've had some luck along the way. I think everybody needs luck, but a lot of hard work has been put into the company over the 20 years.
Well, I agree with you on the luck thing because of two things. One is the president of the university where I went back in the dark ages wrote a book about his experiences called Being Lucky, and having read it, I can tell you he certainly was. And secondly, I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, the harder I work, the luckier I get. So sounds like you had the secret there well in advance.
Well, we think so, and we've been able to recruit, as I mentioned before, some very, very good people that enjoy the environment. We are a family-owned business, but we all have a corporate background to an extent, so we've taken the best of the corporate learning and put it with our entrepreneurial bent and try to merge the two together to come out with a 1+1=3 type of formula.
Well, it must be very exciting to work there. I mean, things like this particular deal must make it very exciting to be an employee at U.S. Beverage.
I think we have all experienced the highs, and we've also experienced lows. But you know, that's what you experience when you're in a very aggressive industry, such as the beer business or the beverage business. Had some great growth and great partnerships with brands like Moosehead, again, with the Heineken folks for sure. And now we're getting into some regional craft activity and cider activity with 1911 coming on board about a half a year ago, and Sonoma Cider out in the West Coast, where we're marketing that throughout California and into the Rocky Mountains. So it's an action-oriented group of people here in a company in a very, very quick and changing industry.
I'm going to ask you in a minute about how you build international brands locally, but first I want to ask you, how do you recruit people when you need them for your staff?
Well, this is a small industry, and we all keep a book of people that we either compete with or we have worked with. So when opportunities come to bring in additional manpower, whether it be sales, marketing, administration, we know, or at least we view the people that we would like to offer an opportunity to join U.S. Beverage and create a career. We do encourage summer internship with college students, and that has worked a great deal and helped us with our recruiting as well.
I have heard it said by one college official that you know, that if you get an internship and do well, you've almost virtually assured yourself of a job when you get out. Would you agree with that assessment?
The internship that we have at U.S. Beverage, either you leave after 3 months loving the business or knowing that the business is not for you. Our interns work very, very hard, and we've hired some that understand the passion that's needed to be successful in this business or in any business. And we have also educated people that have understood if they wanted to get into marketing, maybe it wasn't for them, and it saved them some time and when they graduated college and went on with a different career.
I can well imagine that that's true. So tell me how you build international brands locally.
Well, we work, as I indicated before, we work very closely with our suppliers, understanding that, hold on just a second, understanding that this is their child and we're not going to do anything that would disrupt how they want their child to grow. That's number one. We work very closely with them. And then we identify the markets where their brand, our brand, has a consumer base where once we get distribution, the brand will be selling through distribution and promotion. What we don't want to do is sell a brand that does not have a consumer base that is looking for their brand. It doesn't make any sense selling having one of our distributors focus on a market where our brand doesn't have a chance to sell. And we work very, very closely with our distributors, identifying the universe for which we can sell. So if I have a Nicaraguan brand, in this case, Tonya, where the brand is not known through the surfer community or the Nicaraguan expatriate consumer, if we don't have that, we're not going to place the brand there. So we're very, very specific as to where we're pointing our distributors to sell our product. Once we get our distribution, it's up to us to make sure that we find ways of having the brand picked up and sampled by our consumer, either through the on-trade or the off-trade.
Okay, that makes good sense. How hard is it to get a distributor to agree to carry one of these brands that they may know nothing about?
Well, if we're going to a distributor, speaking to them about appointing them to manage our brands, they know that the brand will sell in their marketplace. We've been doing business with our distributors for 20 years. In most cases, I've had a relationship with most of our distributors for well over 20 years. So there's a trust on both sides that what we are bringing them is a brand that has the ability to sell, as well as the investment to make sure that the brand optimizes its sales potential within the marketplace.
So the distributor knows when you come to him that you've already done your homework and that you've identified the things in his market that would make the brand appropriate for it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there have been times, too, where a distributor in another geography of the United States have asked for a brand which we've said no to because we just didn't feel it was appropriate for the market.
That should be good news for distributors, I would think, because who wants to waste your time on a product that's not going to be right for you?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And that's where the trust factor is very, very valuable in a relationship that we have. And now I'm dealing with first or second generation owners of the distributors. Now my son, Justin, is dealing with the third generation ownership and general management of distributors. So the relationship that has been acquired through the years continues.
Good, good, excellent. Now, I noticed that you talked about selecting markets for each of your products, which suggests to me that you are not a believer in the concept of the U.S. as a melting pot, in that everybody is going to want whatever the product happens to be in all markets. Can you talk a little bit more about that and about the importance of identifying the right beers for the right region?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a proposition for all of our brands, but all of our brands are very different. We don't bring in brands that would compete against one another per se. But, you know, we have a brand from Canada, Moosehead Breweries, which is celebrating 150 years of independent brewing out of New Brunswick, Canada. That is a brand that deserves nationwide distribution. It's been marketed in the United States for over 30 years. The American consumer knows it. The consumer of Canadian products knows it as well. So our responsibility to the brewery is to demand distribution throughout the United States through national chains, local chains, in the off-trade and on-trade as well. We have a brand just recently acquired from Porto, Portugal, called Superbock, which has its strength within the Portuguese communities in the Northeast. That is where we will spend our investment and time building the brand. Once we establish our stronghold within that community, we're able to take it out slowly into other markets where it deserves to be. And it could be in the West Coast, it could be down South, it could be where European lagers are doing well. So it's very, very important that we do our homework, we create a long-term strategy for the brand that is in agreement with the brand owner, and that strategy is basically usually between 3 and 5 years of execution, so that we can't guarantee distribution in the appropriate communities overnight, but over a given period through our time, efforts, and investment, the brand will show itself within a certain period of time.
Good. Now, during the 20 years that you've been running U.S. Beverage, and during the time before that, this industry has changed dramatically. I mean, both on the beer side and on the spirits side, and I guess you could even include wine in that. But looking at the beer industry, can you talk about how it's evolved and what the rise of local craft and super premium imports has meant to the evolution of the business in a broad context?
It's been an extraordinary 20 years, as we see. And you're right, Joel. It's not only in beer, but it's in wine and spirits as well. I'm involved with beer, and what took place with Jim Cook and others when craft became a reasonable part, taking a reasonable share of the beer industry. Younger consumers coming into the category, legal drinking age consumer coming into the category, really dove into craft and beer in itself, where there's an understanding of what an IPA is, the different propositions, using a different different hops, different formulas, different styles, to really sell more than what was at one point an everyday lager, which, by the way, we sell lagers and we're very pleased with that. We also sell Innocent Gun, which is a craft out of Scotland, which is doing extremely well. But it's an exciting time because, and it really came from Jim Cook saying, listen, there's more to your everyday beer. You know, there are different styles of beer that he and others introduced, which created a tremendous interest, which at that time the beer industry needed, that expanded the consumer base. That has helped the overall industry. Not only did that help beer, but it also helped FMBs and ciders as well. So you've recruited a not only the younger consumer, but an interested consumer in the industry, and it's allowed us to expand the portfolio of brands that that consumer will may and can pick up at their local store or at their local restaurant.
Good. And I've noticed that in it seems to me that in both wine and beer, and now emerging in spirits, that people want to know about the people behind the product. They sort of like to take ownership of a brand, at least for a while, as being their brand as versus somebody else's. Can you talk about how that may impact your marketing approach? Or am I wrong about that?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all, Joel. I think that the consumer wants to have a relationship with the brand that they choose, but that brand that they choose may vary from evening to evening or day to day or week to week. I think there's a trust factor between the brand and the brand owner and that consumer that is very, very important. The information that the consumer is able to receive prior to purchasing is out there, and that younger consumer or the consumer in general takes advantage of the information with regards to not only beer brands, but all brands.
Mm-hmm. Good. Now, Joe, let me ask you two final questions, and I'll ask you the really final question. Can you share with us what has been perhaps your best experience in the 20 years you've had U.S. Beverage?
I've had several. I think the best experience can only be explained that we worked very, very hard for 20 years, and as I had indicated, you have good days and bad days in any business, particularly in this business. But it's been the experience that we've shared with our distributors, not only our distributors nationwide, but also with our suppliers, our brand owners, that work with us very, very hard to build brands that are going to last for the long term. And it's that relationship that we've been able to acquire and hold on to, both with the distributor tier and our supplier tier, as well as to an extent our customer tier, has been something to behold and something that's been very rewarding as far as myself and my son is concerned.
Good. And you've been talking about good days and bad days. So what was your worst day in the 20 years you've had U.S. Beverage?
I don't rehash bad days. I will tell you that you have a pride with what you do with brands. Sometimes a brand decides to go off on their own, and it's like you have to lose one of the children that you adopted years ago. Mm-hmm. It's the right thing to do. You've brought it to a level where the brand can stand on its own, and you have to see it go. And that's tough. It's only because we all have a passion for the brands that we sell.
Sure. And finally, Joe, the last question is there anything that you wish I would have asked you?
I think you've covered it, Joel. You normally do. The one question that I would have expected is, what are you going to do the next 20 years? And
fair enough. What are you going to do the next 20 years?
That's an interesting question. What we have right now is a portfolio of brands that we're very, very excited about, with suppliers that we're very, very close to. You know, we're keeping our eye on where the consumer's going. I think there's opportunities within the beer industry and outside of the beer industry, certainly within the beverage business, because that is our love and that is our competency. So we're keeping our eye out on where the consumer's going, and certainly we're trying to stay ahead of that.
Well, that's absolutely terrific, Joe. If you'll stand by for just 1 minute, I'm going to wrap up the recording here, and then I got one more piece of information I'd like to get from you. So just stand by while we thank people for listening and in the recording process.